Blessings to each of you on this day as we gather for this podcast of My Soul Waits, and now chapter 9, the title being It's All Right to Be Afraid. And it comes from Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Well, Marva writes, to be heroic doesn't mean that you aren't afraid. Initially, that comment may surprise us, but then the truth sets us free. You see, the person who's not afraid in a dangerous situation usually doesn't really know what's going on. But the person who is aware of all the circumstances and proceeds anyway, that one is truly the courageous one. Tell the truth. Move forward with courage. That truth will set you free. You see, to be a Jesus follower does not necessarily mean that we're not afraid. In our desire for discipleship, we might struggle to be more trusting, and we might regret that we aren't more so. We're ashamed that we haven't reached the spiritual maturity that we think we ought to have attained. And then we feel lonely because we're not strong enough as Christians truly to belong to the community of God's people. Then fear and loneliness, they mutually reinforce one another. The more lonely we feel, the more frightened we become in those threatening situations. And greater fear makes us feel more alone because others don't seem to share our dread. It's a vicious cycle, it would seem. Well, Psalm 56 is there to speak to comfort us in the midst of our fear and our loneliness. Even the great hero David admits honestly that at times he is afraid. Yes, that David, King David, that yes, even he is afraid. Now, French lay theologian and sociologist Jacques Ellul insisted that Christianity is neither pessimistic nor optimistic, but rather realistic. I love that point of detail. Because at times, Christianity has been attacked with this thought that we're just kind of pie in the sky. We have this thing where we kind of hope in something that just may not be real. But Christianity is neither pessimistic nor optimistic. It's rather realistic. It contains all the elements, all the emotions, all the thoughts, all the feelings of this life and more. And to be true to our faith, we can't simply talk idealistically about God's actions in our lives, nor can we concentrate gloomily on the discouragements of our human failings. Optimism expands the victories that God accomplishes in our lives beyond actuality, but pessimistic dejection ignores God's grace and mercy and leads us to despair. So Christian realism, he proposes, balances in a healthy sense the reality of sin and yet a trusting hope in the truth of God's ultimate victory over sin and evil, even in all of its forms. The truth, again, telling the truth can set us free. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, and seeing what God endures on our behalf can set us free and to help us deeply engage in whatever it is we go through, where we can get to the point, like David in the Psalms, of saying, even when I am afraid, I put my trust into you. So those are within one breath. At the very time we're afraid, that's the time to trust. Fear and trust are held together in dynamic tension. And so, the Psalms' handling of our emotions of fear are an encouragement toward prayer, where we can pray like this. Lord, I'm afraid of what's going on in my body right now. I don't know why it's malfunctioning like this, and I'm scared about it. But I do know that you are a God who takes care of your people, and I know that you are here to help me with this. So teach me to trust you, even though what I feel right now is fear. I'm going to say that prayer one more time. A prayer of handling these emotions of fear and trust being held together could sound something like this. Lord, I'm afraid of what's going on in my body right now. I don't know why it's malfunctioning like this, and I'm scared about it, but I do know that you are a God who takes care of your people, and I know that you are here to help me with this. So teach me to trust you, even though what I feel right now is fear. That same prayer could be said, I'm afraid of what's going on in the world right now. I'm afraid of what's going on in my job right now. I'm afraid of what's going on with my children right now. I'm afraid of what's going on in my government right now. But teach me, Lord God, to trust you, even though what I feel right now is fear. Throughout the scriptures, time and time again, there are accounts of testimonies, the stories of God and of Jesus, that give us more than enough evidence to point to that God is worthy of our trust. And the encouragement in God's word is for us to discover those stories, to find those stories that speak to our heart and our soul and our mind, so that we can be encouraged on the journey, wherever we are, wherever it is we go through, and whatever it is that we need. Because again, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. That's an ongoing work. It's not one and we're done. It's not, I have figured it out, I have arrived, and I know how to do it. But it's a constant journey of transformation. It's a constancy of figuring it out as we wrestle, as we move forward, and as we live in faith. The psalmist today can say, I am not afraid. But again, that came through wrestling. And when we wrestle, we may get to that point of saying, I'm not afraid anymore because of the trust that we have in God. But again, give yourself the space and grace to live in the creative tension where fear and trust are held together. It's an important aspect for all that we are and all that we do. And then seek out stories in your life or in your family's life of times where maybe you have lived in a place of fear, but you've overcome, or you're overcoming right now. And how has that happened? How have you experienced God's grace in the midst of it? How has God spoken to you, and what has most encouraged you? You know, Marva goes on late in this chapter to write that in many countries, Christians today are being persecuted and tortured. But even where that's happening, these followers of Jesus persist in their witness and in their work for justice. We could also think of the motto of the Apostle Paul, who wrote from prison with a convincing boldness and joy. When he wrote, you know, what can mere human beings do to us? If God is for us, who can be against us? That too is found in this psalm. What can mere humans do to us when God is with us and for us? They might mock us or reject us, but what does that matter anyway when we are so profoundly undergirded by the promises and future of Yahweh? They might imprison us, but often that increases the power of our witness to the love of God. We might be harassed in our academic programs because we don't accept the vain philosophies of contemporary culture, but this also can become a great vehicle for manifesting the integrity and truth of the gospel and for helping us to learn what we really want to do with our lives. Again, everything for the good, for the working out of God in our lives. Where is it that you feel persecuted? Where is it that you feel put down? Where is it that you are most afraid? She ends the chapter talking about Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. And she says this, that these few verses show us what to do with our fears. If we begin by looking at the character of God on whom we rely, and if we concentrate on trusting God even though we fear, then we will be able to move to thanksgiving for the truth of God's word, which will set us free to trust without being afraid. Realizing that mere mortals cannot hurt us helps us in that discipline of mind. What can flesh do when we have a God whose word can be trusted and whose promises are sure? It's a lot. But God's promises are sure. What promises of God can you declare on this day? And what do those promises then speak in regards to your fear? May you be blessed as you discern that. And here are a few more questions for further meditation on this chapter. Number one, when and why am I afraid? Number two, what happens when I try simply to squelch that fear? Number three, how can I learn to manage that fear instead? And number four, how does the Word of God give me hope as I trust in God? And then number five, the last question for today, why is the progression of verses 3 and 4 in Psalm 56 so important? Why is the progression that you see in verses 3 and 4 in Psalm 56 so important? Prayers with you on this day as you take time to faithfully listen to the Lord God speaking into the place of our fear. Until next time, be well.